Welcome to the self-learning platform by Dr. Sushma Singh. Today we start Unit 15, Fisher-Fox Movement. And we start with topic Collective Actions of Fisher-Fox, some examples. Since the 1960s, there have been agitations of the Fisher-Fox in different forms and degrees in the coastal states of the country on some of the issues, which are discussed in the section of this unit. But it was only from the 1980s that Fisher-Fox movement took a concrete shape. But Professor Joan Kurian points out that the Fisher-Fox organizations have been concerned more about the allocation of resources and management of fisheries than about their exploitation by the middlemen, merchants, and moneylenders. He further points out that the development work among the Fisher-Fox by the government is project-oriented, not people or community-oriented. This section deals with the collective actions or the social movements of Fisher-Fox with the help of two examples. That is their collective action in Kerala and Orissa. First is Fisher-Fox movement in Kerala. The first major organized movement of Fisher-Fox in Kerala was in the form of protest against the introduction of trawlers, which took place in the late 1970s. This was consequential to the changes which were a result of the intervention in the early 1960s of the non-fishermen investors in the fisheries economy. Shrimp, of which Kerala is among the richest producer, has traditionally been consumed in the Southeast Asian countries rather than in Kerala. Demand for the shrimp increased in the international market, especially in the USA, in the early 1960s. In this context, a fisheries aid project aided by Norwegian government popularized freezing technology and a small variety of trawlers. This led to the entry of non-fishermen traders in the fisheries, whose primary motive was to earn profit. This also resulted in the proliferation of freezing technology and trawlers. The non-fishermen investors expanded the area of fishing from deep to shallow water. Their entry into the shallow water brought the Fisher-Fox and the profit-making investors into direct competition. Faced with their extinction from the fishing in the shallow water and unable to do so in the deep water, the Fisher-Fox protested. During the 1970s, there were several instances of the localized riots or protest of the Fisher-Fox of Kerala. By the end of the 1970s, their protest took an organized form. The organization which organized the Fisher-Fox in their protest was Kerala Swatantra Malsaya Thilozili Federation, or Kerala Independent Fisher Workers Federation. The leadership of the KSMTF was provided by a small but influential minority of community organizers, radical Christian clergy and nuns and social scientists. The KSMTE had units at village and district levels with active cadres. The Fisher-Fox agitations took the form of rallies, processions, demonstrations, hunger strikes and dharnas in the district headquarters and outside Secretarian in Trivandrum. They also resorted to lobbying. The agitators also demanded the trawlers, which resulted in police firing and lathi charge on them. In 1981, the KSMTF organized demonstrations in 1981 at the focal points of the 600 kilometer coastal lines in order to catch the attention of the policy makers and planners. The demonstrations saw the participation of all age groups, which included a large number of women. The main demands of the agitators included exclusive fishing zone for the small-scale fisher fox, a closed season for the traveling operation during the monsoon months of June to July, a total ban on the purchase senior operations, and other demands for greater welfare measures for fish workers, as their traditional rights to the sea, value system, and the technologies have undergone changes to their disadvantage, and as they were denied their rights to sell fixed price and distribute the fish in the market in the post-independence period. The fisher folks organizations also demanded that their indigenous values, technologies, and rights be restored. The movement met with the resistance of the lobbies of the investors, intermediaries, and trawlers, boat owners' associations. One result of the movement was passage of the Kela Marine Fisheries Regulation, KMFR Act 1981, for regulation of harvesting zones. But the act could not be implemented properly, though the left and democratic government introduced welfare measures for the benefit of the fisher folks, village societies, insurance schemes, more liberal credit, housing loans, etc. The government also appointed a committee to look into the scientific and technological issues and assess the socio-economic consequences of the fisheries management demands of the fishermen. The committee included representatives of the small-scale fishermen's union, the trawler owners' associations, apart from the representatives of administration and scientific community. The committee was chaired by Babupal, and it was accordingly known as the Babupal Committee. But the committee resulted in the stalemate. Fishermen's Union gave dissenting note, and eminent scientists did not participate in it. The fisher folks' problems could not be solved by the legislative, administrative, and political steps of the government. The KSMTF again announced launching of the monsoon movement in 1984. It raised the same demands again, which were raised in the 1981 agitation. Though the movements adopted peaceful methods of mobilization, and occasions it resulted into the clashes between fisher folks and police. The movement presented a resemblance of communal harmony, symbolized by the hunger strike of a Hindu fisherman and the Catholic nun. The government expressed its unwillingness to ban the trawling during the monsoon period on the ground that it would result in the fall of foreign exchange and unemployment. But the NFF suggested banning of the trawling during monsoon on experimental basis. It suggested that the help of the FAO Fisheries Division be sought for providing expertise to ban trawling on experimental basis. Rather than to accept the suggestion, the government appointed another three-member committee headed by A.Z. Kalavar. Kalavar committee to look into the management issue. Submitted in 1985, Kalavar committee did not approve the ban on shrimp harvesting during the monsoon, but it suggested the reduction in the size of the trawler fleet to half of its existing strength. The committee also suggested need to encourage the more passive shrimp harvesting gear like trammel nets, which were newly introduced by the artisanal fishermen in 1983, recommended a total ban on pioneer operation in coastal waters and cautioned about the massive motorization drive being encouraged by the government. The recommendations of the Kalavar committee by and large remain unimplemented, made by the frequent changes of the government in the states. Towards the end of the 1980s, the KSMTF took up new demands. Only active fishermen should be given ownership of fishing assets, asking the government to take legal action against the trawlers, purse seiners under the KMFR Act. Women played very significant role in the fisher folk movement in Kerala. In fact, it were the women fish vendors of Trivandrum district who had launched an agitation in 1979 to demand statutory right to use public transport. As a result, within 2 years of the agitation, the fisheries department introduced special buses for them, though their statutory rights were not accepted. In 1990s, the fisher folk movement achieved the national character. There was all India level opposition to the introduction of the modern technology, which got boost during the liberalization regime introduced by P.V. Narasimha Rao's government. On the one of the issue which was opposed included DSF, deep sea fishing units. The NFR launched a national agitation through National Fishermen's Action Council against joint ventures of fishers. A band was organized on 23-24 November 1994, which led to the closure of market and cessation of fishing. The NFACAJV also organized demonstration in the national capital. Besides organizing bans, demonstration at the ports, etc., these actions caught the attention of the Government of India. The latter appointed a committee to review DSF policy in February 1994. This committee consisted of 16 members and was chaired by a retired IAS officer, P. Murari. dissatisfied with the composition of the committee, Thomas Cochrane, now as a leader of NFACAJB, set on an 8 days hunger strike. As a result, the committee was reconstituted with inclusion of fishermen's representatives and increase in its strength of the committee up to 41. The Murari Committee, which submitted its report in 1996, made the following major recommendations. Complete ban on fishing by foreign investors in Indian water by not issuing the new licenses and phasing out the old licenses. The government promised to disband the DSF policy of 1991 and take steps to protect the traditional fisher folks. The NFF 1997 continued to mobilize the fisher folks throughout the 1990s and the beginning of this century in different ways, aiming at generating consciousness among them. During the recent years, the fisher folks movement in Kerala got linked with the international movement of fishermen in the sense that the issue raised by it were framed in the light of the report of the International Conference of Fish Workers and Their Supporters, ICFS, held in July 2005. These included the familiar issues, participation of the fisher folks in the fisheries and their management, sale and processing of the harvested catches, which were raised even earlier. The ICFS also recommended to the national government to associate local fishermen's organizations or fishing communities in devising and implementing regulatory measures, but with the possibility of their effective control. Next topic is fisher folks movement of Chilika Lake, anti-prawn culture agitation. Chilika Lake was a reference point of the fisher folk movement in 1999. Chilika Lake, known for the largest brackish water in Asia, is a source of livelihood to the large number of the fisher folks of Orissa. Chilika Lake was declared as wetland of international importance by the Ramsar Convention. The lake is also habitat of a large variety of biodiversity, including dolphins and different migratory birds. Since 1992, an NGO, Orissa Krushak Mahasangh, with Banka Bihari Das as its president, had helped to organize the local fishing communities around Chilika Lake with the help of the Mangrove Action Project. Tata Housing sought to set up a large number of industrial scale semi-intensive shrimp farms on the shore of Chilika Lake. Tata's move was stopped midway as a result of the court injunctions. The court injunctions came after the hard legal battle between the Tata House and Fisher Folks. Though the court injunctions prevented Tata's attempt to proceed, a large number of shrimp farms came to be built illegally on Chilika shore by other groups involving mafia, politicians, and bureaucrats. The fisher folks launched an agitation against the shrimp farming in the Chilika Lake in 1999, May-July. The organizations which took lead in were Chilika Matsyajivi Mahasangh, National Fisher Workers Forum, NFF, World Forum for Fish Harvesters and Fish Workers, WFF. A large number of fisher folks participated in the agitation on June 11, 1999. The agitation took a violent turn, resulting in police firing in which 4 fisher folks were killed and 13 were seriously injured. The fisher folks destroyed a large number of prawn farms. They formed a human wall to prevent the movement of vehicles into cities, stopped the trains. The Band saw maximum success in Bhubaneswar. Now, the summary of the unit. To sum up, the fisher folks form a large section of Indian population, especially in the coastal states, West Bengal, Orissa, Andhra Pradesh, Kerala, Tamil Nadu, Maharashtra, Gujarat, etc. They contribute enormously to the domestic and international economy. They consist of diverse social and cultural groups belonging to 3 major religions, Hindu, Islam, and Christianity. In terms of economic categories, there are broadly 3 groups among them: those who own their own vessels and use them for fishing, those who do not own vessels but work on the boats and trawlers of other fisher folks, and those who own boats and travelers and employ other fisher folks. The third category also consists of the non-fisher folks, traders, politicians, and money lenders. The fisher folks are subject to the exploitation by the money lenders and traders. They are also worst sufferers of the natural disaster like flood, typhoons, and tsunami. Since the 1990s, they are facing the stiff competition with the mechanized boats and travelers. As a result of the liberalization policy introduced by P.V. Narasimha Rao government, though the fisher folks have a large number of problems, the issues on which they have been mobilized into the collective actions are related to their participation in the fisheries and their management and protecting them from the competition with the mechanized boats and travelers. The fisher folks have been mobilized into collective actions from the 1960s onward. Although fisher folks movements have been noticed in other states also, it is in Kerala that they have been most organized and sustained. It has been possible due to efforts of their leadership and organizations. Both the leadership and organizations have been existing at the district, state, and national level. In 1978, different fisher folks unions formed a confederation known as the National Fisher Men's Forum, NFF. The leadership to the fisher folks, especially in Kerala, has largely been provided by the church fathers, nuns, social activists, intellectual academic activists. Their collective actions have involved demonstrations, dharnas, and hunger strikes. On several occasions, their agitations resulted in violence. The government responded mainly with the appointment of commissions. The recommendations of the commissions have generally remained unimplemented. Nevertheless, the fisher folks' movements have made significant contribution to the social movements in the country. Here we want to wind up this lecture, and we have come to the end of the unit. Thank you so much for your attention.